And good morning. You're tuned in to 88.5 KRFY, and this is the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. And I'm one of your hosts, Susie Prez. And good morning over there, Mr. Other co-host.
And I'm your co-host, Chris Bessler. Good morning, yeah. Susie.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, November 10th. We're here in the studios, and we have guests, we have information, we have news for you today. And our guests are from the organization called SOUL, that's Selkirk Outdoor Leadership Education. We have Dennison Webb, who's the director. Good morning, Dennison.
Yeah, good morning, Susie.
It's always nice to have you here and tell us about all the great things that SOUL is doing for our community. And we have your newest employee, the program director, John Dodge. Good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody.
It's nice to have you here also. And we'll hear all about lots of different things that you're up to these days. But before that, would you like to hear, Chris?
Susie, tell us about the weather.
Well, currently from the National Weather Service, we're having freezing fog. That's a new one for this year anyways. It's 28 degrees out. And patchy fog, then mostly sunny after about 11 a.m. High today 43, calm winds becoming a little bit from the southwest, 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m., and then just plain snow, lows around 34. And it says we have a chance of precipitation, 80% new snow accumulation this evening, less than a half an inch possible. We could wake up to a snowy morning tomorrow.
Yeah, starting to feel like winter.
And everyone has their thumbs up. Okay, it must be some skiers here.
Yeah.
And the other news is that on Veterans Day, that's on Wednesday, we have a 100% chance of precipitation. And they're saying up to 2 inches of snow possible in the valley.
Yeah, wow. Good.
So it's just, here it comes, folks.
Here it comes.
All right.
Yep. And also outside, sunrise this morning was at 6:45 a.m. Sunset tonight will be at 4:13 p.m. And that means we've lost in the last week 23 minutes of sunlight as we're getting closer to the winter solstice. But here's the good news. The winter solstice is just barely 4 weeks away because it comes on December 22nd. So it's a little more than that. But we're coming up on the shortest day of the year, not too far off. And then every day gets longer.
Yeah, it's kind of a grit your teeth kind of moment, but it happens every year, so we're used to it, right?
Yeah, well, it's actually kind of cool.
All right.
Yeah, so to have the change of the seasons every year.
Mm-hmm.
Moonrise this morning was at 5:30 a.m., but it's only a 1% full moon because the new moon is tomorrow. And the lake level is at 2052.3 feet. That's down about 6/10 of a foot from a week ago. And it's projected to drop down to around 2051 this year. They have to reach that level by November 22nd, according to the operating agreement that the Army Corps of Engineers operates under. And that's what's going on outside in the news. Susie, what happened this week? Anything particular? I'll answer that question.
Why don't you answer that question? I'm stumped.
I asked the question. You know, you're always supposed to know the answer to the question, right? Okay. Well, we had an election. Remember, it was just a week ago we were sitting in here saying, how's it going to go? We had a program with a couple of the local media guys talking about what's going to go on with the election. And, of course, by now it's fairly old news, but we do have some listeners from afar. The Memorial Field proposal to rebuild the stadium passed with a 73% approval, which is kind of amazing in itself to get 73% of the people agreeing on anything. So that was strong support. We have a new mayor, Shelby Ronstad, won the Sandpoint mayor's election. Now, Pondere also has a new mayor. Steve Geiger won that election. He was up against two opponents. So we're going to see some new faces in office.
I just want to say in a few weeks, we're going to have both our outgoing mayor, Carrie Logan, and Shelby Ronstad,
the mayor-elect,
coming in, and we're going to do a little on-air handoff of sage advice from one to the other.
Yeah, so
to the young dude mayor.
The young dude mayor, yeah. So that'll be a good one to listen to. We'll probably do that in about 3 weeks, I guess.
Sounds like it.
Also this week, the Sandpoint High football team prevailed in their state quarterfinal playoff over Kuna on Friday. They won 34-13. It was actually a comparative easy win for them.
Where did they play?
Here in Sandpoint. Oh, yeah. They had a pretty full house for it, too, right there at Memorial Field where the old grandstands are getting their kind of their last workout here. Now, they'll play Rigby again here at Memorial Field this weekend, and the last I heard, that date wasn't set. It'll either be Friday evening or Saturday afternoon. So that's coming up as well. And this week, we have a ski swap happening Saturday.
That's right.
That's a big one. Do you guys go, Denison and John?
Yeah.
Got to go to the ski swap.
Got to get skis.
There's always new gear to get, no matter how many skis or snowshoes you have. There's a lot of great winter clothing there as well.
Yep.
And there's a ton of great deals to be had.
Yeah, prices you can afford.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, a fraction of what they cost new. A lot of the equipment they have there. So that's a good one. And, of course, we'll have more events happening in town. As usual, there's pages of events happening in this town.
I know. I think it's the biggest week yet.
Yeah.
And I know there's a really good concert at DeLuna's on Saturday night. And it's a benefit for our very own community radio station. Yeah. So we'll tell you all about that, too.
Yeah. But meantime, let's talk with our guest we have with us today, Denison Webb with Soul. That's Selkirk Outdoor Leadership Education, and his new program director, John Dodge. Again, thanks for coming in, Denison and John.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
So I know you've been in a few times, Denison. A lot of our readers, I mean listeners, are acquainted with what Soul's about. But for those that aren't, tell us, what is Soul?
Soul is a local nonprofit, and really what our mission is to empower participants to become active learners and responsible stewards of their community and its environment. And how we actually do that is we design and facilitate experiential education programming, and that takes shape in a lot of different ways, ranging from place-based education programming for local area schools to multi-day expeditions in the summer for teens, to we have a licensed outdoor therapeutic program, and we even do outdoor technical skill workshops and things of that nature. So as we're gearing up towards winter, for example, we're really focusing on our snow school experience program, which occurs up at Schweitzer, and we're expanding it to Lookout Pass and Mount Spokane this year. As well as our ARI Avalanche Education Program, which we're partnering with the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center to kind of help develop their instructors to deepen our instructor pool, as well as offer some local avalanche awareness programs for middle and high school kids.
It's very comprehensive. Did you kind of develop this program from a model from some other place? Because it's very
about
unique.
20.
About 20 other models.
Early on, what we saw as a need is really providing local area youth outdoor education opportunities. That's what I saw them not having, and I had access to that as a youth growing up. So, my desire for sure was really primarily to focus on the local area youth, and that's really what we built it around. But the reality is like you can't rely exclusively on grant funding. And so we've really tried to, and there's also other needs. So we've really tried to offer a diverse series of programs ranging from adults to youth and everything in between. And so I think what you'll find with our organization, that's the common thread, is really it supports that mission. I mean, whether you're doing an avalanche education program, to actually become more savvy in the backcountry, or, your local area youth, jumping on snowshoes for the first time, it's really about, the inherent skills that you're learning, academic skills, technical skills, but also, becoming honestly, ideally a better individual and being able to give back to our local community. And so we really try to integrate as much as we can and infuse and educate what's happening with our local community. We try to partner and collaborate, certainly within the context of what everyone's doing here.
I like the phrase that you used when you were describing your program, active stewards. And it really does start as a young person. You can really instill those ethical ideals about the outdoors and how to be in the outdoors.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to be clear, we really pride ourselves on not taking a right or left stance. We really pride ourselves on providing objective programming where individual participants are able to actually do, for example, the actual field work and actually collect, real-time data in the field. So, for example, during our snow school program, the fifth grade students will actually dig snow pits. And they'll actually collect data from the snow pit, do a snow pit profile, and collect temperature readings and snow water equivalency readings and so on and so forth to be able to determine what is occurring within our snowpack and is that the norm and track that trend over time.
That's a very unique experience. I don't know where you could gain that as a young person anywhere.
Yeah, certainly, and especially since I don't know if folks know this, but 80% of our water comes from our snowpack. So that if you start thinking about in context of what do we use for water every day, that's a real life, meaningful connection to make.
Right, and to be able to monitor that. That's why both of you put thumbs up when we did the weather, and we're going to get snow.
Yeah, we love snow. Okay. Yeah. And it's fun, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, we saw last summer what happens when we have a small snowpack. It's very stressful on the forest, and obviously the stream life is very stressed by it, and it creates a lot of fire hazard. So, yeah, we need the snow here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you have a new program director, John. John, thanks for being with us.
You bet. Thank you.
I'd like to hear what your position is, but first, John, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background, and how did you wind up here?
Sure. Well, my background was primarily recreation, and I say that it was me and my family members and my friends going out and recreating for ourselves. We'd fish, we'd hike, we'd bike, we'd camp, and this was the norm for us growing up. And
growing up in Spokane?
Growing up in Spokane, yeah. Yes. We have a family lake cabin up at Priest Lake, so we spent about 4 months a summer up there with my grand folks. And throughout high school and the first part of college, I started taking small groups out in the woods, and this was normal for me. And I started seeing that my life growing up wasn't normal, and these folks that I would take out would just be so excited about what we're doing. They'd say, "Oh my gosh, fishing's fun. Backpacking's fun. Skiing's fun." And started recognizing that there's this pretty powerful change when you take somebody out, and seeing that change in somebody was really empowering. So I got tied in with Eastern has a outdoor program called Epic Adventures. And we spent a lot of work on leadership development and taught a lot of single-day, multi-day, up to 17-day courses, and it was amazing. And so I kind of dived into that world, went back to graduate school, and over the last 10 years spent my time in between Sandpoint and Priest Lake doing everything from backcountry ski guiding to backcountry snowmobile guiding to avalanche awareness classes to level one classes and instructional snowmobile clinics. And it's just been the world that I've lived in, and stumbled across Dennis a few months ago, and we had a good time talking to each other, and it progressed to us sitting together today. So
what does the new position, program director for Soul, consist of?
He's essentially a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think if we were to write my program description down on paper, and it will evolve, and we're writing it every day. But primarily my goal is to take some of the stress and some of the workload off Denison's plate. And so my function will be logistics and program development, licensing, permitting, instructor development, and Yeah, that's a good start.
That sounds like just about everything. Yeah.
Licensing and permitting, what kind of licenses and permits are involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do possess, again, an outdoor therapeutic program license in the state of Montana for our Journey Experience program, which we do what's called adventure therapy. So we take individuals out, from 8 to 21 days and into the wilds of Montana and try to help them in terms of developing personal development skills. And we're also taking that program, just a little side note, and developing an executive functioning curriculum to really focus specifically on individuals that struggle with executive function deficits. So that would be folks, for example, that are diagnosed with ADHD. And so those higher order thinking skills, learning how to develop those skills, and then ideally transfer what they've learned back into a front country setting. But I don't want to get too far in the weeds with that. But and then permits, we possess permits with the Forest Service. We partner with them in a wide range of forms and fashions, but primarily for our special use permit. We operate in Montana, but we also operate in Idaho as well. And so we're pursuing permits over towards Lookout Pass in Idaho as well as in the Selkirks. But we have a pretty unique relationship we're creating with the district up in Bonners, and so that's going to be a little bit unique in terms. It's not going to be a commercial use permit. It's going to be something different, like a partnership type of agreement. So there's a lot of different areas we operate, and we have to really adhere to, what the expectations are from the powers to be, more or less.
So if you're taking a group onto Forest Service lands, you're required to have a permit.
Right, exactly. Yeah. There's a whole slew of, rules and regulations, and then you have the whole, in the state of Idaho, you also have the Idaho Outfitter Licensing and Guides Board. Guys. Yeah, and so there's mandates there. Essentially, if you're generating revenue, you have to, possess a permit. You're a commercial use outfitter, and then you got to be a licensed outfitter. We're pretty unique in that we're a nonprofit, and so we have some leniency in terms of possessing the actual outfitter's license. We don't have to possess that because we're a 501c3 education nonprofit.
So you have a board of directors?
We do have a board of directors, and it's we have some new members, and it's growing every day, and we're loving it. We've grown exponentially just recently. So
one of the things in hearing about all of this diverse program and offerings and course offerings that you have, I'm wondering how many people you serve in a year. It might be hard to even categorize that.
It's a lot. Since our inception, we came on scene in 2010. We were incorporated as a 501c3 nonprofit in 2011. And since that time, we've actually served over 1,200 youth. So we've also served, and those are mainly local area youth. I would say about 97%. I don't know if that figure is actually exactly correct, but the vast majority of who we serve are local area youth. And so we certainly primarily focus on that demographic, and we want specifically also public schools. So we work exclusively with, primarily with Lake Pendre School District, the fifth grade snow school program. So that's every fifth grader in the school district gets a day and a half of programming with us. This past year, a school administrator, Perky Hagedon Smith, actually wrote a PAFE grant and was the largest funded grant for the snow school program. So that's awesome because it relieves a lot of stress, for us in terms of fundraising and grant writing to actually get that program to actually run. And so I think what teachers and families even saw was this really powerful experience for kids. We did a quick survey. Little note here, over 60% of the kids have never even been on snowshoes before and up on that mountain. And so if we think about that, we are providing an opportunity for them to really access something that they wouldn't otherwise have access to.
Even though we're right here so close.
That's right. It's in their backyard.
Their backcountry.
So that's really great that you got the PAFE grant. That's I think it's Pondere.
The Panhandle Life for Education.
Right.
And they're an awesome foundation. They're providing some phenomenal opportunities for our teachers.
We're going to dive into some of the new things you have coming up. But you did mention you have an avalanche education program that you're going to be doing this year.
Yep.
Now, is that through the school, or can people that are just want to learn about avalanche safety?
Yeah, great question. All of the above. John, definitely with his background, as well as the support of the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center, we're going to continue to expand our snow school program to actually include avalanche awareness for middle and high school classes. And so if there's a teacher out there that was really interested in that being the focus of actually their day on the snow, we could actually focus programming on that and will. In addition, we are an ARI avalanche education provider, which is the American Institute for Avalanche Research and Education. It's probably the leading provider in the United States. And so we provide ARI level one, level two avalanche education training courses in the inland Northwest.
And that's really vital in any ski community.
Snowmobile, snowshoe, whatever.
Get the people up on the mountain. You want them to be safe.
My kid
is a snowboarder in it. Tell you what, it took a lot of work to get him to recognize that, yes, there's avalanche danger even within the ski area.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have to have your head up when you're skiing and snowboarding that you can get in some areas where there's been fresh snow and there's danger, even though they're knocking, in the morning they do the knockdown.
Mitigation work.
Yeah. The mitigation work, mm-hmm. So that's very important for the young people to understand that. And avalanches, you could spend a whole show just talking about them because they're pretty fascinating and amazing force of nature.
With all of the programs that you currently offer, and you've got a new program director, John, here, I'm sure your mind is always spinning about new things coming up. Is there and that you want to develop?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, forecasting forward, we have a lot of things we're looking at, we're excited about. I don't want to, overpromise and underdeliver by any stretch of the means. I don't really want to focus on that. I would just say that, just stay up to date in terms of what's coming up. Definitely go to our website, which is www.soleexperiences.org. And on there, we have you can learn more about us as an organization, us as individuals. You can learn about our different programming options. You can actually just jump onto our calendar and see what our upcoming calendar is.
And it's really open to the community in various ways.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We want to be seen essentially, the quick and dirty of it is a community resource where they can actually come to whether they want to seek leadership development opportunities as a corporate group or a business, or they're a local public school and they're looking for place-based education programming for the teachers, or they're a parent looking for a fun and adventurous opportunity in the summer. It really spans the whole scope and practice of what experiential education is.
And I want to remind our listeners that this is the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie, and we're speaking this morning with Denison Webb and John Dodge with the Selkirk Outdoor Leadership Education, which is SOL here in town. So I know that you have some programs underway with Clark Fork Junior Senior High School. Tell us what's going on there.
A whole slew of different opportunities for those students. So they're doing a kind of like a magnet track, and so we're focusing on working with the outdoor track primarily, and at least at this point. And so what that involves for us is we're sharing what we call the Confluence Project curriculum, which is essentially a watershed science curriculum with those kids. And so they're out doing things like getting certified as Idaho Master Water Stewards and actually doing water quality monitoring in local tributaries as well as up at Colburn Lake on Schweitzer Mountain. They're doing Leave No Trace curriculum around essentially, again, how to be a better steward of our wildlands and also within the community. We're going to focus come January this semester as well as next within our snow school experience programming. And that includes also, again, you know, watershed science, snow science, as well as winter ecology, outdoor living, travel skills, and hopefully some avalanche awareness curriculum.
So when you're talking about the programs here at the Clark Fork Junior Senior School, who provides or presents those watershed programs?
Yeah, we all do. And okay. Then we also source outside experts in the field. And so we partner with the University of Idaho, Idaho Master Water Stewards Program. And so Jim Eakins is a great partner of ours, and we utilize his expertise. A lot of our instructors are actually certified master water stewards as well.
And who is how are the children or the students really responding to this new program out there?
Early on, so we also did something I left out. We did some leadership and team building kind of programming to kind of kick off the semester and get them working together and really create this idea of a group dynamic, a healthy one. and I would say early, day one, there's a lot of excitement and buzz, and it was really neat to kind of see them interact, because it's the whole, you're talking seventh grade all the way to 12th grade. And so from that day to the last day I was with them, which was out on the Clark Fork Delta, we were putting up a wood duck box and pulling some invasive weeds. It was really neat because I would see like some of the older students actually mentor the younger students, and it's great. It feels like a family vibe, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely look out after each other.
And getting outdoors, it offers a different experience in learning.
Yeah. And there's other partners, too, just to kind of note. I think it's important that they be recognized as well, and they'd be Schweitzer Mountain Resort. Kaniskiu Land Trust is another big one that's offering programming. And so, and I'm sure that's not going to be limited. That specific program or the other tracks are going to be limited to only those organization. So if you're interested in being involved, I would certainly contact the folks at Clark Fork and see how, you or your organization could actually get involved with what's going on.
But one question, we're going to go to a song break here in a minute, but one question about how you develop, there's quite a range of programs you're doing at Clark Fork right now. Do those ideas come from the teacher saying, hey, we're interested in doing something, or is it an idea that you present them with?
Yeah, so we generally, when we work with any school, we actually, hear what they are interested in doing, and then we try to steer them in the direction of what we can offer. And so with Clark Fork, it was certainly, taking that route. And so we shared a plan and an actual proposal for a series of days in the field.
Okay.
I want to come back on that question when we come back from the song break. Okay. But Susie, what do you got for us?
Well, this was actually John Dodge requested. I said, what song do you want to hear today? And he right away knew what he wanted to hear. This is The Birds, You Ain't Going Nowhere. And we'll be right back. We want to hear And we want to hear all about all the events that are coming up for Soul. Selkirk Outdoor Leadership will be right back. This is The Birds, You Ain't Going Nowhere.
To sing a Dylan song called You Ain't Going Nowhere.
And that was The Birds, You Ain't Going Nowhere. And we're here in the studios live for the KRFY 88.5 Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And our guests today are Dennison Webb, Executive Director, and John Dodge, Program Director of Soul, Selkirk Outdoor Leadership Education. And again, we have a whole bunch more questions for you. So Chris, go ahead.
Well, we were talking about your programming, and John is the new program director. Are there some particular programs that you'd like to pursue?
Well, there are
new ideas out there in the horizon.
Yeah, there are, and a lot of this will have to develop, but one program that just fascinates me is the idea of this expedition-based programming, where you take a group of kids, adults, youth, and you take them out for an extended period of time, either 7 days, 10 days, or 17 days is kind of the standard. And there's just something different when you're out with a group, forced to work together, forced to do everything together. There's something very special that happens in that group. So that's something that we've talked about, and we have a few locations picked out for that. And it's just in terms of logistics at this point, to see if we can make it happen.
So for an expedition designed program, do you set a goal? Like, okay, you know, it's good. We're going to be out for 7 days, but we want to bag two peaks. Or is there that kind of goal setting that's involved?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the power of it. There almost has to be a goal, whether it's a mountain-based goal where you're saying we're starting at this point and our goal is 17 miles up the ridge at the top of this peak. And that's part of the challenge, is to figure out how to get there each and every day. And if you don't, then you come up with a plan B. But having that goal in the distance, or if it's a 17-day river trip, you know, your goal is where your car is parked at the end of the river. So that forces you to reach that goal. And if you don't, that's the power of these courses, is you have to figure out a plan B.
Yeah, I remember Yvonne Chouinard once said that adventure is what happens when things go wrong. That's what, what adds that adventure element, is when you don't reach the goal you're trying to go for, and you got to go to plan B or improvise a plan B.
Yeah.
Any other programming that's in the horizon there you want to mention?
Well, I'm not sure what you were doing there.
Sure. Well, one thing that my background was for the last 4 years was snowmobile guiding. And it's a whole different sport from skiing. It's kind of like the old rivalry between skiers and snowboarders. Now it's skiers versus snowmobilers. And we did a lot of instructional training with teaching people how to ride or how to progress on snowmobiles, and also informing people and teaching snowmobile-specific avalanche awareness workshops. And it's a group that has never really been tapped before, and there's an increasing number of folks who are interested in continuing to snowmobile or snowbike and learn how they can do it safely.
Yeah, and actually, there's been an increasing number of fatalities on snowmobilers because they do get some really, way back there at terrain, and there's a lot of avalanche danger where those guys are riding often.
Yeah, and they often don't ride with the best judgment. And so what I mean by that is, like, they'll do things like what's called high marking.
High marking, yeah.
Yeah, and so they'll,
Where they take a run up a really steep slope to see how high up they can get. And, of course,
that
slope breaks.
And I want to interrupt and not discredit any snowmobilers out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot that are very savvy, very smart. The difference is they have the ability to get very, very far in a very quick period of time. So in 30 minutes, a skier can go 1.5 miles. And in 30 minutes, a snowmobiler can access terrain that's 15 or 20 miles. And so when something happens, whether it's a machine failure or human failure, they're out there. So search and rescue calls, it takes a tremendous effort to get to that person. So
They have to be prepared for a lot of contingencies.
As you said in the beginning, you're offering diverse amounts, different types of programming, all the way to the snowmobilers, and avalanche specifically geared training for them.
And also we're strongly considering snowshoe specific level one courses, because it's often a challenge for instructors to have a wide you know, various modalities out there at once. So snowshoes, snowboards, you know, skis. So we're trying to really tailor the programming specifically to those, you know, users for to make it easier on the instructors and also the course participants, because, you know, that adds a layer of stress too.
Do you have any programs? Or a lot of your programs are aimed at youth, but I'm curious.
Yeah, these are actually adult-based courses. Yeah. And so this, all of our AVI, I don't want to call them certification courses, because there is no avalanche certification out there, period. And, you know, if you take a level one or level two course, it is considered a training course. And that's a liability deal. There are really solid avalanche education providers. So, for example, ARRI would be one of those. AAA would be another. And so, we definitely recommend taking an avalanche education course, level one. If you're going to be out in avalanche terrain, you need to take at least a level one course. And those courses are ages 16 and up. And so we'll get course participants that are, you know, in their 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and then we'll.
You know, we have a demographic here that a lot of older people that maybe are new to the area. They're wanting to go out and explore things.
That's right.
That I would anticipate there'd be a need there.
Yeah, and we're looking at other course offerings, like hybrid courses that include like kind of what you're alluding to, which is, you know, level one backcountry skiing type experience. I don't want to get too far into it because we're not quite there. With some other various pieces, but we're certainly looking at what we're calling hybrid course development, and that'll be coming soon.
Yeah, well, great. These are just ideas right now. I know that need to be developed.
Yeah, some of them are happening this year. So again, go to our website, www.soleexperiences, that's plural, .org. So it's www.soleexperiences.org.
Great. And so you also have a couple of events coming up.
To make this all happen, it takes a little bit of funding. Right.
Fundraisers, funding. But they have a big element of fun in them.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. All of our fundraisers are definitely certainly about fun. The first one's happening on Veterans Day, I believe is Wednesday.
Which is, tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow's happening at the Idaho Poor Authority. And it's what we call our Ails to Put Youth on Trails event. But this one's kind of unique in that we're actually showcasing a new partnership that we have with the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center. And so we're going to share that partnership and celebrate, which is totally appropriate because we're getting snow now. It's because of this event, y'all. So you should definitely come down and support it. and come continue the snow dance down there. But we have Georgetown Brewery and John Hagedon of Idaho Port Authority is a huge supporter of our community and nonprofits like Soul. And so he's hosting this event for us to share our new partnership with the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center and also to raise some funds to get local area youth into avalanche education courses. And that's what all the proceeds will be geared towards.
And that's at the Idaho Poor Authority from 5 to 8 p.m. That's tomorrow, November 11th.
Yep. And we'll have a good raffle, which will include some tickets for our Winter Wildlands Alliance Backcountry Film Festival, which is our largest fundraiser of the year, which is specifically for our Snow School Experience program happening at the Panada on December 4th. Which is, occurs every year, and it's hosted by us, but it's created by the Winter Wildlands Alliance out of Boise, and it's a whole slew of really awesome films that are juried and they're award-winning, you know. So, do you want me to talk more about that specific event? Because that's a little bit unique.
You bet.
Okay,
yeah.
So, again, that's on December 4th at the Panada Theater, and doors open at 6 for that. And it goes to about 10 o'clock, and it has a whole series of films that are all about the human-powered backcountry experience is what it celebrates. We also host a really amazing silent auction, and we have all kinds of really cool items for that, ranging from canvas prints from local photographers like Lance Beck and Kirk Miller to one of our premier sponsors is Big Agnes out of Steamboat Springs, and they have donated sleeping bag tents and Therm-a-Rest pads. We local sponsors like Greasy Fingers and Trinity, Schweitzer Mountain Resort has donated a full access season pass for our silent auction. So we have a whole lot of and I just got a note here, GoPro. We got GoPro has also jumped on board. So really neat things. If you're in the holiday gift, kind of looking for that unique gift, we have a lot of stuff that'll be in the silent auction. And then we'll also do a raffle, which is just really fun stuff, a whole slew of things in that as well. But really, it's about coming out, learning more about actually our snow school program. So this year, we'll actually are going to highlight the Clark Fork Outdoor Track, which we talked about earlier, specifically you know, what they're doing, as well as what they'll be doing within the snow school program this winter. And you know, we'll have a slideshow from last winter's snow school program, and it's awesome. So if you're interested in supporting basically 5th through 12th grade youth without, you know, within the school district, including students from Lake Pendere High School, which we work with as well, you know, Clark Fork High, Senior High School, as well as 5th graders throughout the district, then please come out on December 4th at the Panda Theater, and tickets are only $10 in advance. I mean, that's really nothing. Well, it is something, but,
but you know, it's not a lot.
Yeah.
It's pretty light duty for being a supporter of the community. You get to have fun, and
yeah,
you get
a, and if you can't come for whatever reason, please feel free to donate. You know,
yeah, this is always that option.
And if you're interested in getting possibly winning tickets to the film festival, the Idaho Poor Authority tomorrow night from 5 to 8 will be your evening of fundraising for Soul. And that's at the Idaho Poor Authority.
And again, that's specifically for avalanche education programming for local area youth. So they are two totally different fundraising opportunities for us. We realize they're in quick succession. And, you know, that's not ideal for us, but certainly we are gearing up for winter, and we want to provide as many opportunities for our local area youth as we can. You know, the majority of our programming has honestly grown exponentially in the winter, and so we're really trying to fundraise for winter programming to continue it and continue to grow it.
And as you said, the film festival on December 4th at the Panada is your biggest fundraiser.
It is.
And looking at the lineup of films, I think I was there last year. Awesome films.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, and really amazing films. And so you can probably go to the website and get a list of those films.
You can. You can get a list of the films on the website. Again, that website is www.soleexperiences.org. And experiences is plural, again. Yeah, you can jump on there and find out more information actually about both events, the event on November 11th as well as the event on December 4th. You can also secure your tickets on that webpage for the Backcountry Film Festival.
I have to say, you know, with being a young person in the world today with all the diverse things that you can do, being outside in this area and what you offer to our youth is exceptional.
Thank you.
So good.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, and it's really been nice having you in the studio today, both John Dodge, new program director of Soul, and Dennison Webb, executive director of Soul. And so thank you very much.
Yes, thanks for coming in, guys.
We're going to be right back with the rest of the events calendar, entertainment calendar for our area. But first, we're going to hear a song. And I'm sorry, John, it's not your choice song. Okay. This is, that was a little bit of a long song. This is Elton John, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, which, by the way, started an 8-week run at number one on the U.S. charts in 1973. It was his largest selling, 15 million copies sold of this album. And this is the title song, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. By Elton John. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And that was Elton John, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And we're here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. This is the Tuesday edition of the morning show with Chris Bessler and myself, Susie Prez. And Chris, I just wanted to say something. Last Friday night, you had a party at Keoki in celebration of the 25th anniversary issue of the Sandpoint magazine. And I was thinking when I was looking at the magazine later after the party that that magazine really demarcates kind of our year in a way. And it's something people really look forward to. So I wanted to say congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you.
25 years. That's quite a while.
Yeah, 25 years. Something to be said for sheer endurance in mm-hmm. there.
And it's a great magazine, and people love it. So good job. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. And it is out around town now, although I will say we're having trouble keeping the racks filled. So the 4 foot tall pile of magazines we had at a couple of the stores were out by Saturday. So we are refilling them. So people can look around for that.
And lots going on this week. As we were just talking with Dennison Webb and John Dodge from Seoul on Wednesday night at the Idaho Poor Authority, it's another one of those awesome fundraisers that John Hagedon and Vicki Reich put together, owners of the Idaho Poor Authority, for our local nonprofits. So just keep in mind from 5 to 8.
That's tomorrow, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And other things going on, the SARS annual ski swap is this Saturday. We mentioned that earlier in the broadcast. Great chance to get ski gear and winter clothing. That runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. That's this Saturday, November 14th at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. And it's a fundraiser, again, for the SARS program up at Schweitzer. Another big happening this weekend is the annual Warren Miller ski film is out. It's going to be showing on Friday at the Panada Theater, and that's titled Chasing Shadows. That's at 7 p.m. I'd suggest getting your ticket early for that because it does often sell out. Other things going on around town this week, Susie? Well, there's a huge, once again, a huge calendar.
I just wanted to say what SARS stands for is Schweitzer Alpine Racing School. I didn't know that until I read that. I've always heard SARS.
Okay.
And yeah. I knew it was some kind of thing up at Schweitzer with racing, but that stands for Schweitzer Alpine Racing School.
Yeah, and there are a ton of kids that come through that program.
Oh, yeah. Tons. And the benefit for that ski swap. And they'll take cash, checks, or credit cards. So that's on Saturday.
Yep.
Let's see what else is going on. Lots of things. It just goes on and on. There's always music at all the different places. The Ponderay Winery, McDuff's Beer Hall.
Tonight there's a sip and shop for the WOW Scholarships. That's the Women of Wisdom Scholarship Program. It's going to be at the Ponderay Winery. And it's going to be a special appearance by the singer Maya Sharp, who's going to be performing at 5 p.m. And that's, again, at the Ponderay Winery. That's tonight, beginning at 5 p.m. Also tonight, there's a beer hall open mic night. That's at McDuff's Beer Hall on Cedar Street. And it's hosted by Crooked Fingers, Rick Price, and Mark Remeter. They have a open mic there the second Tuesday of every month. And that's from 7 to 10 p.m. at McDuff's.
It's a good chance to get out the old guitar and go down there and play a tune or two and just pretend that you're a rock star.
That's right. or just go take it in.
Yeah, just sit there and listen and be appreciative. And Wednesday is Veterans Day, by the way. And at the Panada Theater, they're hosting a screening of the film 12 Million Steps. And that's at 6 p.m. And that is about in 2010 and 2012. This guy named Mike Earhart.
He's from Hope, Aaron, actually.
Of Hope, created a wall of flags, 6,570 miles across the country for those troops lost in Iraq and Afghanistan. So this is a stunning one-hour tribute documentary film. It's free to all.
Yeah.
In honor of Veterans Day.
And that's at the Panda Theater. That's tomorrow from beginning at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Definitely worth catching that one. Among other things going on, the Sandpoint Rock Gym is going to have an open house. This on the November 12th. That's Thursday. The Rock Gym's at 522 Church Street, right across from the Evan Brother Coffee. It's actually, I think they utilize the grain elevator, which is a kind of a neat thing. And that's from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. There will be tours and climbing, prizes, fun things going on. But it's a great chance to see what is up with the rock gym if you've wondered about that.
Mm-hmm. Just to back up a little bit, also on the 11th, which is Veterans Day, and on Saturday, the 14th, the Panetta Theater is also presenting Max, a movie about a traumatized military dog from Afghanistan who is adopted by his late handler's family in the U.S. So that's a movie called Max. And on Veterans Day, it's at 7:30. And on November 14th, it's at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. It's a heartwarming film for the entire family.
Yeah, I believe it follows the tribute film 12 Million Steps at the Panetta that night. So you can actually catch both of those films.
And let's see. Well, you know what? I just looked at the clock, and we're out of time.
We're out of time. But there's a ton going on this week, and you can see the entire calendar at the KRFY.org website or the sandpointonline.com webpage as well.
And you can tune in Thursday morning at 8 a.m. to the Thursday edition of The Morning Show with Jack Peterson. His guest will be Alice Wallace from the Bonner County Community Food Bank. Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up. Let's hear what they need and how we can help meet our community needs. And we're going to leave with a song by Kathy Colton and the Reluctance, because on Saturday night, the KRFY benefit concert at DeLuna's is happening, and these will be the featured artists, Kathy Colton and the Reluctance. This is I Took a Little Trip. And Chris, I hope you have a great day. We
you
hope
too,
everyone
too,
does.
Right.
Okay, take care. We'll be back next Tuesday.
Bye now.
Take care.